Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's Word today, the second Sunday in the season of Lent, is our gospel lesson, Mark chapter 8, beginning at the 27th verse. And dear brothers and sisters in the faith, do you remember Esau in the Old Testament? Remember Esau, the brother of Jacob, the son of Isaac, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Esau isn't mentioned. He isn't mentioned in the family tree because Esau made just about the worst deal that was ever recorded. He exchanged his birthright, which meant a substantial earthly inheritance from his father, and above all, a much greater eternal inheritance from his heavenly father, and he traded it all for what? Bowl of soup. For a bowl of soup. Now, every person in this world has been born once. Esau was born once, just once. You've been born once. Your birth certificate is a proof of that. Your presence here today is a proof of that. But if you are a Christian person, you haven't just been born once, you've been born twice. Now, that is not a credit to you at all, any more than you can take credit from the first time you were born. Scripture is clear about that. Book of Ephesians, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that didn't come from you. That was a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. If you're a Christian person, you've been born twice, the Bible says. Peter was born twice. First time he was born from his earthly parents. We actually know the name of his father, John or Jonah, depending on how you want to pronounce it. But Peter was born a second time as well, too. What the Bible calls being born again, or born from above, or born from God, what it means is that the Holy Spirit has been given to you and you've been given faith. It's a miraculous gift of God. And when that happens for a person, you can tell it. You can tell. And so it is for Peter. The man starts talking differently. Now, the crowds that are following after the Lord Jesus in the lesson for today, vast crowds of people in the thousands, most all of those folks have only been born once. They listen to Jesus preach, they see the miracles that happen. And they do, like one of my seminary professors used to say, they look at Jesus like a cow looks at a new gate. Doesn't know what to do with it. He's there, but I don't know what to do. Do I go through? Do I come back across? I don't know. They describe Jesus as a blind person would describe colors. They say Jesus is, what is he? Maybe he's John the Baptist, come back to life. Or maybe he's Elijah, come back to life, because they believe in the resurrection. Maybe he's one of the prophets of old, the old times, the one we read about in the Old Testament. They've come back to life again, and that's Jesus. What they think is that Jesus is a teacher, or he's a healer, or he's a king in some of the places in the Bible. They describe him that way. Whatever the case, what is Jesus here for? Well, he's here, obviously, to help us out here on earth, because we need some help. Things are a mess. Back then they were a mess. Today they're a mess. He's here to help us on earth. He does what a teacher will do, or a healer will do, or a political leader will do. They look at Jesus, and they see him with the eyes that they have from their first birth, what they have from their parents. But Peter sees with the eyes that have been given to him by his heavenly Father. He sees Jesus and he says, Lord, you're the Christ. You're the anointed one. You're the Messiah. You're the Savior. And that's what every Christian person does, along with Peter. You say it because you've been born a second time. You've been born from above. You've been born from God. You've been given faith. You've been given the Holy Spirit. You can tell the way a person talks. Sometimes. Let's read a little further. And so, Peter says, Jesus, you are the Messiah. You are the Christ. You are the Savior. You're the Lord. And so, Jesus began to teach them. Let's move on. Jesus began to teach them that it was necessary for the Son of Man to suffer many things and to be rejected. And Peter, fresh off his wonderful confession of faith, began to rebuke Jesus. But seeing his disciples, Jesus rebuked Peter and said, You get behind me, Satan, because you are not thinking the things of God, you are thinking the things of people. Now that is a quick turnaround. One minute, blessed are you because the Holy Spirit gave you this wonderful insight. The next minute, he calls him what? He calls him Satan because you don't have in mind the things of God, the things of people. You're thinking what everybody else thinks. It's your first birth talking here. Why did we go from second birth back to first birth? Why? Well, it's in the lesson. And in the lesson, what we see is something perhaps that Peter did not want to reveal. We recognize that his words come out of his mouth not because of his concern so much for the Lord, but because of his concern for himself. His first birth says, I want to live. And if I go with Jesus, and if Jesus goes to Jerusalem, then I likely will die. And so the first birth frames a choice for him. This is the choice. Go with Jesus or live. Go with Jesus or live. But the problem is that actually the choice? Does the first birth have it right? So let's see. And so calling to himself the crowd with his disciples, Jesus said to them, this is for all of you, if anyone wishes to follow after me, let him deny himself and let him take up his cross and let him follow after me. For whoever would wish to save his life loses it, but whoever should lose his life on my behalf and on behalf of the good news will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and to lose his soul? Did you hear the difference? The choice is not go with Jesus or live. The choice is go with Jesus or die. Go with Jesus or die. Or maybe just go with Jesus. Why wouldn't you go with him? Well, you wouldn't go with him because your first birth is doing all the talking. And your first birth says, well, where are we going? Where are you going to take me? Where am I following you to? Where are we going to? Let's take an example from the Bible of where some people who go with Jesus end up going. Book of Matthew, chapter 8, it says, and Jesus got into a boat. This is on the Sea of Galilee. He got into a boat, and his disciples went with him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being swamped with the waves. But Jesus himself was asleep. And they came to him and they woke him, saying, "Save us, Lord, for we are perishing." And he said to them, "Why are you afraid, you men of little faith?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the sea, and it became perfectly calm. And the men in the boat were amazed, and they said, "What kind of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" They went with Jesus into the boat. Follow the progression. If they hadn't followed Jesus, they wouldn't have gotten into the boat. If they hadn't gotten into the boat, they wouldn't have been out at sea when the storm hit. If they hadn't been out at sea when the storm hit, then the boat wouldn't have been swamped. And if the boat hadn't been swamped, they wouldn't have been out to drown. And if they hadn't been about to drown, they wouldn't have said, "Save us, Lord, for we are perishing." And if they hadn't called out to the Lord, they would never have seen his deliverance and said, "What kind of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him?" Follow the progression. You get into the boat, you go through all manner of things, but where do you end up? You end up seeing who Jesus is. Now, everyone else on shore that night slept soundly in their homes. They were born once. They were content to be born once. They were content that this world that we have should give them a just measure of the offering of offerings in return for their labor. They were content to have in Jesus a teacher and a healer and a king. They were content to have him to be someone to help us here on earth, because the good Lord knows we got all kinds of problems. And what does the Lord Jesus say? What's his verdict on all of that? On all these folks sleeping quietly at home? He says this. He says, "What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and to lose his soul? What will a man give as an exchange for his soul?" Now, no one would naturally choose to go with Jesus. To get out at night, to go into a boat, to get caught in a storm, to have the boat get swamped, to be about to drown. No one would naturally go with the Lord like all the people that you meet in the book of Psalms. Over and over again, people who go with the Lord, but then they take their life in their hands, and they get saved by hair's breadth. No one would naturally choose what Jesus said. He began to teach them that it's necessary for the Son of Man to suffer many things and to be rejected after testing by the elders and the high priests and the scribes, and to be killed and after 3 days to be raised. Nobody would choose that. Their first birth wouldn't. And yet these are the people that had what nobody else on the shore did. They were born a second time. They were born from above. They were born from God. They were given faith. They were given the Holy Spirit. And you can tell, because no more is it teacher, healer, king. It's who is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? And the answer comes in today's lesson, where it says, "You are the Christ. You are the Messiah. You are the Savior. You are the one who took my sin on the cross so that I could have everlasting life. You are the one who will come in the glory of the Father with his holy angels on the last day." And if all that is true, and it is true, if that is what Jesus is, then there's really no point in being like Esau. It's the height of foolishness to be like Esau, to sell away your second birth so you can keep your first birth, to sell off your future so that you can keep the present. Because as a Christian person knows, it's not go with Jesus or live. It's go with Jesus or die. Or maybe best of all, just go with Jesus. Go with him. That's where the prophet is, P-R-O-F-I-T. That's where the prophet is. That's where eternal life is. That's where the glory of the Father is. That's where his holy angels are. And that's where you find the future. A future together with the Lord. A future that is good. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.